everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. It's the Bill Buckmaster Returns to the Airwaves week here on 1030 The Voice. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom, just in time, my return for an excessive heat warning. This is reminiscent of last June, unfortunately.
Yes, it's becoming... June, July, and August are becoming our three hottest months of the year.
Oh, my. Well, at least we are not dealing with the Santa Catalinas burning from one end to the other. However, that fire up at Globe in that area, Globe Superior, it could be one of the biggest wildfires in Arizona history. And very little containment, so it's bad news.
It's not a friendly fire.
No, it is not. It's Buckmaster Wednesday, midweek edition, June 9th, 2021. I am in my 11th year here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Paul, how are you?
More importantly, Bill, how's your arm and how are you feeling? And are you getting back to normalcy after that? Quite an adventure you've had.
Yeah, it was quite an adventure. It was May 17th up in Seward, Alaska, ready to check into the hotel for the first full day of vacation. What a glorious day it was on Resurrection Bay. Any of our listeners who've been up there know it was just absolutely gorgeous day. And after lunch, carrying a couple of parcels, I missed a step as we were getting ready to check into the hotel. Down I go on the pavement and over to the Providence Hospital in Seward, Alaska. And I was greeted by the attending physician who said, "Are you Bill Buckmaster?" And I went, "Yeah." I grew up watching you with my parents. We had, you know, watched you every night on Arizona Illustrated, and it was kind of nice, you know. It felt good that somebody knew me in a strange land, and I had a broken arm and all freaked out, didn't know if they were going to airlift me over to Anchorage for surgery, on and on it goes. That was May 17th. The last good night's sleep I had until last night was May 16th at the Courtyard by Marriott in Anchorage, Alaska, when we had flown in. But that was the last decent sleep I had until last night. So no surgery. We're not going that route. We're letting nature take its course. The first physical therapy begins 1 week from today. Already have our appointment. So, yeah, I'm moving forward. It's about the only way we can go. And thank you very much for asking. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's very comforting to hear that you're feeling better. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things, the metaphor for what's going on with everybody is that we're finally feeling better about being able to see each other, to hug one another, to shake hands. And, you know, we've all had different challenges. And Bill, you know, you just mentioned it in the lead-in that you've been on the air 10 years. I remember, like, the first time I met you as a professional, when I first got appointed to city council, you were actually still doing, I don't know if it was Arizona Illustrated or it was something else, but I know, that I went to the studio, with KUAT, I believe.
Yeah, it was Channel 6, Arizona Illustrated for 22 years. Yeah, that's when we first met. And of course I knew your dad and interviewed your dad. Many times.
And my grandmother. I think my grandmother was on.
Yeah, she was on as well. So, you know, that's kind of, I think what we're now into 33 years in the media here in Tucson. You know, I was thinking of that day, that May 17th. The drive from Anchorage to Seward that day was the most spectacular, crystal clear. There had been a lot of snow this winter and spring in Alaska, and they were just beginning the green up, they call it. Things were greening out. I don't think I have we stopped at Portage Glacier Lake. I don't think, listeners, I have ever felt more alive in my life than I did that day, that midday, stopping there at the glacier. And then the irony of it, to go from really the highest high within hours to the lowest low. Never broken a bone in my body. We've traveled to 100 different countries. Never, ever had a health emergency like this. And it's a wake-up call. I'm telling you, folks, I'm very mindful now. Every step I take, it just takes one false step, you go down. And I did a stiff arm. That's why I broke my arm. The my guardian angel, Paul Cunningham, was doing the football stiff arm to protect me from hitting the head on the concrete. Hit the head on the concrete, lights out. So there is that. I think that that's kind of the issue here I'm dealing with. Initially, I was pretty down about all of this, but right now I'm feeling pretty up because I'm living to see another day and I'm moving forward, Paul.
Well, it's amazing how our perspective changes. 50 years ago, anybody would take a bump on the head before a broken arm. And now, with what we know about concussions and TBIs and all those other things, you know, you're grateful for the broken arm. And it's amazing how that perspective has changed. It's amazing how all perspectives change just when everything kind of comes into focus and people are deprived of things that they take for granted, or they're challenged on things that they're getting to be taken advantage of. So I think we've all been through it this year, but I'm glad to hear that you're on the mend. I'm glad to hear that you're in better health. And that's very comforting to me because I didn't really see it much online. I had an interesting month and we went back to back to back to back to back with things. My son graduated as student body president from his high school and is getting ready for college. My other son finished the sixth grade. We had graduation at the school that I teach at. We had a football game for all the kids who play football here in Tucson. Funny you brought up the stiff arm. We had a game on Friday, and 90 seniors from Southern Arizona, many of whom only got to play one, maybe two games this year, got to play. And that first day of practice was so emotional for them to get the opportunity to play in front of a big crowd as a senior, just to go out like that was just unbelievable. It was a really special event. We had two deservingly high Hall of Fame coaches in Nehmer Hasse and Dennis Benet coaching on each sideline. Nehmer was the coach at Saguaro during some really great playoff runs and some golden years. And I think Dennis Benet won a state championship at Sal Point. So it was amazing. Every single high school coach in Tucson rallied to take part in it. And we had different members of the community, stalwarts in the community, like Mr. Lopez and Mr. Click, Mr. Caesar, Mr. Controlla, Mr. Regina, all those guys pitched in the money to make it necessary. And then the Arizona Bowl, run by Ollie Farhane, Kim Adair, Del Arvallo, and Ben Rhodes, they were all there to kind of make everything work. And it went off without a hitch. It was an unbelievable coalescence of the community coming together and doing something special. And then right after that was the Firefighters Ball. And it was the first time, really, that all the firefighters had been together all at once since their longtime union leader passed away. And the last time they were all in the room together was probably during Roger Tamietti's funeral in the later part of 19. So we went back to back to back like that for like 26 days, and I have to tell you, I am exhausted. And that's kind of where we are.
You know, just a quick shout out to the folks that do rural medicine and Tom Fairbanks, who spent a lot of time up in Alaska. My fine engineer producer will understand where I'm coming from. Up in Seward, you know, it's 130 miles from Anchorage, and they're very dependent on telemedicine. I'll tell you what, they have come so far with this telemedicine. We were dealing with the top orthopedic surgeon in Anchorage who was looking at my x x-rays and determining, are you going to be airlifted to Anchorage? Do we need to do the surgery? And she said, let's do one more x-ray. It's going to hurt like you know what, but we got to put you on your stomach, and we want to see about the rotator, that cup area. Is it still intact? Are the muscles looking good? And they came back and said, Bill, we got good news. It looks good. We don't recommend surgery at this point. And I'm telling you, that's the best news I have ever had in my life, Paul Cunningham.
Well, the fact that you're going to have, it sounds like you're going to have full range of motion on your arm.
I think so, eventually.
The therapy goes through, and that's the attitude you have to have coming off injury or coming off illness, that you can get it back, and that's what makes people happier and cheery, and it also translates to other people, because sometimes cheerfulness, and it seems in the last few years, cheerfulness and optimism kind of comes and goes. It's not as constant as it was with people sometimes. And so the fact that you're optimistic and cheerful, I think that's a great thing for Tucson, because you reach so many listeners every day, and it warms my heart to hear that.
Okay, thank you. I didn't plan on talking about myself and the injury, but I got to tell you, it's a little bit therapeutic, and I'm glad we did it. We can talk about the news after we talk about Mona's Danish Bakery and take a break. You know, I love Mona's Danish Bakery. I said on the show Monday, my kind of return to the airways after 3 weeks, that was the best breakfast I've ever had Sunday at Mona's. I don't know if it was just getting out, having that, having those eggs over easy, and Steve, the owner and chief baker, he brought me some beautiful bacon right off the grill. It tasted so good to me. Steve's done a great job through the whole pandemic and everything else. He's taken Mondays off. They're going to do some summer hours. They're still open at 6:30 in the morning. They're going to close a little bit earlier. He deserves a little bit of a break. Mona's Danish Bakery, they're open right now, open for lunch. You can still get breakfast. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. We'll talk some water with Paul Cunningham about the front page story about a water treatment plant to be shut down. We'll talk with Paul about that after we take the break.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We are so happy about Green Things. They're on a buying trip right now down in Oaxaca, and they're going to bring back some really, really beautiful things for Zocalo Village. Not that they already don't have a great supply, but the inventory is going to be even better after the buying trip. So stop by Green Things and Zocalo Village, 3384 East River Road. The website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, the live line today featuring Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, Tony Davis writing in the Star. Tony's one of the, I think, best environmental reporters, newspaper reporters in the United States. He was writing about the groundwater on Tucson's south side has become now so contaminated that Tucson Water has to shut down that plant that has been treating it for 27 years. I guess, Paul, that in the long term, that shutdown will deprive the city of an alternative drinking supply if CAP deliveries are cut back to Tucson. Is this a big deal?
It's absolutely a big deal, and it can't be something that isn't taken too more. It can't be something that is taken not seriously enough. In other words, you can't even take it. You need to, like, there's very few instances where I tell people to be high strung, and we just did a big old segment about, you know, birds flying and seeing positives and perspective. But when it comes to groundwater, you can be high strung. And so, you know, you can't take this light at all. And what we're doing is we're going to shut down about four different wells, and those wells are not meeting AZDEQ standards. And then we're going to shut down some proximity wells, some proximate wells that probably are within EPA recommendation.
Paul, I think we may have lost Paul. When and if that plant is reopened, it will no longer serve drinking water. Its treated water will be discharged into Tucson's reclaimed water system, the Santa Cruz and or both. So as Paul Cunningham, who's now back with us on the live line, says, this is a really big deal. Okay, Paul, you're back with us.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
You prep for everything, and you stand in the right spot, and you get the audio you want, and of course,
there you go.
The most important part comes, it drops. What I was saying is that there's all kinds of instances in life where you're not supposed to be high strung. You can't let it get to you, blah, 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 blah. But when it comes to groundwater being contaminated, you have to be high strung. You have to be vigilant. You have to be 100% on it. What we're going to do is we're going to close down several different wells that are in proximity to the airport where this contamination took place back in the 70s due to basically firefighting foam and other things during drills, stuff like that. We're also going to shut down a few wells in proximity that are actually that meet the contamination standards by the EPA, but just not well enough, not good enough for us. Understand? I mean, we're not going to suck water out of those wells and wheel it anywhere either. We're going to shut all those down. Then we are going to go to the Air Force. Well, we have already gone to the Air Force and begun negotiations with the Air Force to build some type of treatment facility and program that will probably cost us north of $30, $40, $50 million, maybe even $100 million. And we'd like the Air Force to pay for it so that we can continue to tap into that water, clean it properly, perhaps even put it into our reclaim system. But we want to be really careful that we're not, there are no unintended consequences. And that requires study, that requires science, that requires vigilance, and ultimately it requires finance. So that's kind of the process. We are not taking any chances at all of wheeling one drop of water with PFAS in it. And that's where we stand. We have to do that, because if we're not, then we're not doing our job. So we have to take this seriously. We have to be vigilant. And again, the risk long-term on the water supply, it's a bummer, because those wells that we're not wheeling water out of those wells right now, but those wells give us a backup. They kind of give us a buffer in case CAP is ever cut significantly, in case we don't have enough water in our current wells. Water longevity and water stability and sustainability in our region is hard to come by. And so it's kind of like having 6 cases of Gatorade, but you know 2 of them are spoiled and you can't serve them, and you only have so many people. You have 6 people and 6 Gatorades, but one of them spoiled. So you have to figure out a way to take a little off the top of the other 5 Gatorades and put it into a separate cup and serve it. That's kind of, I guess, the best analogy I can make. Actually, that was a pretty good one off the top of my head, if I do say so.
So are we going to have enough? I mean, how big a deal is this in the long term?
Well, in the long term, I don't know if it will affect us. It depends if the Air Force can finance the treatment plant that we need to build. But in the short long term, in other words, in the next 5 years, it definitely affects us, because we don't have that option to wheel that water. And not only that, who wants a plume of contaminated water melding with other wells or other underground water in our aquifer?
What do you think what are the chances that has the Air Force done this in other places in the community?
Yes, there is precedent. They've already helped us for the first time this happened. There is some precedent there. We have support of the entire delegation on both sides of the aisle congressionally. We have support from both of our senators. So I'm pretty optimistic that this situation can be resolved. I think it's something that can expand even the mission of the Air Force presence in Tucson. And so hopefully we can find a way to recover those water resources as well as clean up our ground.
And speaking of water, the differential water rate proposal, there was a hearing last night that's going to come back before the council. I think there's going to be some more input coming up later this month, correct?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've talked about it at length on this show. You know that I'm pretty disappointed. I stand by my reasoning behind this. I've laid it out as best as I can. I know that some people are disappointed. This isn't going to make me popular necessarily. But again, as I've said, I'm going to minimize how we do it. I want to do it a certain way. And there's a process, and I'm not going to leave any stone uncovered that demonstrates meeting all the things of that process. But everybody knows where I stand, and I stick by it. I stand by it.
I really wanted to move on to this issue that's really got a lot of us concerned in the community, and I've got about 2 minutes, and it's the vandalizing of 2 synagogues in the past 3 weeks. And I wanted you to please make some comments on that, Paul Cunningham.
Well, this relates to our chief, who we may be losing. But our chief, what people don't realize is he's an amazing investigator and he's not just a good chief. He's actually an amazing police officer, and he's trained or has made it work so that we have some of the better investigators in town. We don't know whether it's the same person or not. We don't know how that's going. As a lot of your viewers probably don't know, because my last name is Cunningham and my father is Irish Catholic. I actually was raised Jewish. I'm the grandson of Lillian Fisher, and Judge Fisher was a member of Young Israel, the Chabad, and we were members of anti-Israel for pretty much my whole life. My middle son is currently getting praying for his bar mitzvah. So this vandalism hits close to home, and my reaction is that it sucks to know that we think we've come so far, and it's like two steps forward and two steps back, and you know it's frustrating. It kind of, when you have hopefulness and you preach optimism and hopefulness and belief in fellow humanity, when things like this happen, it kind of knocks you down a notch, and it makes everybody sag a bit, and that's a bummer because that's not what Tucson's all about, and that's not what our community is all about.
But the chief is, you feel pretty optimistic. He's got a team out there working on this.
Yeah, I think we'll be able to identify the persons responsible. And I think our, despite all the things, the worries about personnel and all those things we've talked about on the show before, we've got an amazing group of investigators and police officers who've been able to close cases in this last year.
Okay, Paul Cunningham, enjoyed the visit today. Got a little personal about my situation, but I think sometimes that people want to know what's going on. So I'm glad we were able to talk about that. Thank you, Paul.
Bill, you've been the gold standard in talk radio and talk television in Tucson, Arizona for 33 years. And if people don't want to listen to your injury, I know several people who asked me when they knew I was going to be on the show today to make sure to ask you about it. So people wanted to hear about it.
Thank you, Paul. Have a great day,
and thank you for having me.
Thank you, Paul Cunningham. Take the break right here, Midweek Edition.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery in Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCare2UAZ.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, our midweek edition. Once a quarter here on the Buckmaster Show, we focus on what I believe, and I think I have pretty much support on this, Arizona's most important resource. It's got to be water, folks. It's our Arizona Water Quarterly presented by the Central Arizona Project. Your water, your future. Joining us now on the program, Karen Caesar. Karen is the Pima County representative on the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. You can learn more about CAP, by the way, at cap-az.com. Great to see you, Karen.
It's always good to be here, Bill. Thank you.
Just a pleasure, as always, to see your smiling face. So the last time we talked, this has been, in the news a lot, talking about the likelihood that we might be headed for what is called a Tier 1 shortage at the beginning of 2022.
Well, yes, and we've been tracking this very closely, and it's been a busy few months. And it's looking highly likely that we will be having a Tier 1 shortage, which should be declared in August by the Bureau of Reclamation. And so much so that we now, CAP, has dedicated a web page. We have fact sheets. We have infographics. We have lots of information out there that demonstrates what a Tier 1 shortage is and what it means to CAP.
And I think our listeners want to know right now, Karen, what does a shortage mean for our water supply?
Well, it is newsworthy that we'll be our first declared shortage on the Colorado River. And what this means is that our Colorado River water supply that's available to Arizona is going to be cut back. Like I said, in August, it will be the official announcement, even though the shortage won't take place until 2022. Hydrologists are pretty amazing. They can model all the watershed of the Upper Colorado River, Lake Powell, Lake Mead. They know pretty much now what that elevation is going to be. And so what's going to happen is this is going to reduce our water supply to a total of 512,000 acre feet, which is going to be borne mostly by the CAP system. A Tier 1 shortage basically is a cut of about 30% of our normal water supply, which rolls up to be about 18% of Arizona's Colorado River water supply, or just under 8% of Arizona's total water use. So this is, you know, Councilmember Cunningham said before, when it comes to water, this again is you know, a very serious thing. But I want to tell you, and you know, we are ready and we are prepared. This is not coming as any surprise.
You've got a lot of professionals I know that have been working on this. Let me ask you: does the monsoon, the summer thunderstorm season, will that influence this in any way or not?
That's a great question, and that it won't.
Okay.
It will not. The water that falls here in Tucson helps us, helps our plants,
sure.
Helps maybe reduce demand on the you know, at the end user level.
Helps
we can
our
all
air
cut
quality.
Back.
Off,
helps
yeah.
Helps us. We bring on the monsoons, but unfortunately, rainfall in Tucson in the summer doesn't do anything to lift the water levels in Lake Mead. That's really driven by the snowpack in the, you know, Colorado River Basin and in the, you know, in the Rockies. So while we all are hoping for a good monsoon, unfortunately, that will not have an impact directly on the shortage.
And of course, the next very important question, what does that mean to our municipal and the tribal water supplies?
Well, and again, this is important, and there's nothing new, and we're doing everything we can to make sure that everybody understands this. you know, we've prepared for this, first of all, with a drought contingency plan, and a tier one shortage will not have any impact to municipal, that means cities like Tucson, or tribal water supplies. Our highest priority water users will not see a reduction in their supplies from a tier one impact. It's really, unfortunately, agriculture that's going to bear the brunt of it, and they are going to face significant cuts. But again, these are not unexpected, and we've been planning for this, and they're prepared, and a lot of work has been done in anticipation of this, so we are not caught, you know, flat-footed on this with this development.
And you're continuing to work sustainable, looking for sustainable solutions, because long term we've got a warming situation.
Right. We know we're heading to a hotter, drier.
We're still in a drought.
We're in a long drought and exacerbated by very little rainfall this past winter and a very bleak monsoon last summer. So locally, again, we're all really feeling it. But you know, I think I would like your listeners to know that, you know, stakeholders across the state has worked collaboratively to share the risks and the benefits of these future shortages. The whole drought contingency plan effort that took over a year brought everybody to the table to talk about how we could share the pain, as it were. And so because of that efforts, we're prepared. And while it's, you know, big news, it again, it's not unexpected news. And we're ready. And we know what we're going to do. And Arizona Water Managers, you know, CAP included, along with all of our, you know, partners from the City of Tucson, Department of Water Resources, the tribal, everybody are working still collaboratively to, you know, to basically make some sustainable changes and look to the future. So again, we're planning to meet this challenge head on and be prepared so that we aren't going to run out of water.
And I'm sure we'll have more when we meet with you for our next quarter, getting an update. Let's talk about what else is going on at CAP. And I know you've been dealing with a lot of the pandemic protocols still.
We still are. And one thing that people don't really realize is the CAP headquarters is actually a federal facility. It's the Bureau of
Records. I did not know that.
I knew it, but maybe it's not top of mind because it was originally a Bureau of Reclamation facility. So CAP headquarters had to follow all the federal protocols for CAP. So we've been operating and keeping that water flowing and keeping our employees safe. But I'm happy to announce that it looks like by our August board meeting, we will be back in person. Our staff is starting to come back. First, we had our maintenance and our tradespeople. We're a big piece of infrastructure that needs hands-on. You can't remote in to fix a turbine or circuits, or there's a lot of things that you can do remotely.
Can't do that by Zoom.
You cannot Zoom fix a turbine. And so they have been working in a safe manner, but we're able to get staff back, and then our administrative staff back. Board will be back in person, and that'll be just so great because it'll be a year and a half since this board has been together. And frankly, as a body, I think we work better if we are all in the same room. It's just the fact of interactions. And then finally, by September, we're hoping to open up headquarters to public so we can have full public attendance. So for August, the public for our meeting, which we're having tomorrow, and well as August, will still be available on our streaming service. But by September, we'll be back, hopefully all in person, and we're going to say back to normal.
How did that recertification go?
Well, you know what? This is really exciting. CAP really prides itself on safety. And I talked a little bit about, you know, we have a lot of infrastructure. We have a lot of big pieces of equipment. Not only that, we have a canal that flows very fast. And so safety is really important for CAP. And we were just recertified with something called the Voluntary Protection Program, or VPP, by the Arizona Division of Occupational Safety and Health. And, you know, this is voluntary, as it says, but, you know, it comes to organizations that have very high standards for safety, exceeding all the national and local standards, and we were recertified this year.
And they said good things about you guys.
They did.
The
inspectors said good things, and which is wonderful. But more importantly, the employees said good things. And one of the parts of this program is they go talk to employees, and they want to make sure that everybody's, you know, walking the talk. And the inspectors really remarked that CAP employees are truly grateful and appreciative of the comprehensive culture of safety that CAP has, because, you know, again, safety of our water supply and safety of our employees are really, you know, some of our top priorities.
And as a board member, you've been providing safety minutes.
Right. Well, as part of this, and this is something our board does, I know other companies do, you know, to have that culture of safety going, you know, from the whole range of the organization, our board meetings all start with safety minutes, and each board member has the honor of presenting one. We rotate through, you know, so 15 board members, maybe once every year or so, you have opportunities to present a safety minute on a topic of interest to that particular board member.
And before we go, as far as the knowyourwaternews.com, could you, if folks want to check out that website, there's a lot of good information there.
Yeah, again, and this goes back to please know and understand what's going on. KnowYourWaterNews.com, where you can get regular updates. There's infographics. We talk about not only our water supply, the shortage, priority system, wheeling. We also talk about our energy demand, things called the duck curve, which is another term for in the power world.
I'll ask you about that next time.
Sounds great. but again, I just hope everybody knows there's information out there and we are prepared for this, you know, anticipated tier one shortage.
And a big shout out before we go.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to wish the Wildcat baseball team good luck this weekend in
fun.
The Super Regional and bear down.
Karen Caesar, always a pleasure. Folks can find out more at cap-az.com. Great to see you.
Great to see you. Thanks.
All right. The Buckmaster Show continues after we take this quick break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. 3-hour drive from Tucson, the Buckmaster Show weather guarantee. It's going to be cooler in Silver City, and our midday temperatures, the upper 80s right now in Silver City. And look at that forecast. The mid-90s, that'll look pretty darn good compared to Tucson hitting maybe 110, 111. So nights still around upper 50s to low 60s. Very pleasant in Silver City. I would start your planning right now. And maybe this is the weekend for that road trip to Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. City of Tucson has a primary election. The ward-only primary election is coming up August 3rd, not too far away. General election takes place November 2nd, when citywide voters will pick the representatives of Wards 3, 5, and 6. Steve Kasachek, the current council member of Ward 6, facing two primary challengers. Yesterday, we talked with Miranda Schubert, and today it's Andres Alexander Portela, the third with us on the live line, the other challenger in the Democratic primary. Andres, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Mr. Buckmaster. How are you doing today?
Doing real well. And previously you worked as a policy advisor for Ward 1 council member Lane Santa Cruz. You're a Policy Institute fellow at the Black Futures Lab. Tell us a little bit about why, Andres, you decided to run for this office.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to respect the people who came before me. So I'm the son of a third generation Black Tucsonan, which is super important for me, who grew up on university in Maine. So I've lived in Southern Arizona my whole life, and I got thrown into this political space by interning for Congressman Ron Barber, which was one of the greatest experiences of my life. But it led to me working in civil rights and doing housing policy, and then it led to me being a senior policy advisor for the city of Tucson. So really, it's that deep commitment to service. It's really kept me in this space, but ultimately why I decided to run for office.
What do you have at the top of your agenda? What's your platform looking like? Give us your top three items that you would like to accomplish.
Yeah, so that's actually a really great question. For me, it's four big policy pushes for me. It's all on an acronym called HOME. That's housing, opportunity, mobility justice, and environmental justice. But essentially, it's keeping Tucson families in their home and making sure that they can find place, opportunity through public health, but also making sure that they get through the city of Tucson fast and safely by prioritizing our neighborhood streets, but also respecting the land that we live on.
How do we do a better job in that regard?
For housing policy,
yes.
That's my core competency. That's what I went to school for. That's what I've been trained in, and that's what I focus on. There are quite a few different ways that we can do this. We can do this through source of income protections, which means anyone who has the valid form of finances and trying to get into housing, they should be able to be a priority in getting housing. For opportunity, we can focus on the right to counsel, but also focusing on public health. And that's a big policy push that I'm going to be working on within my first 100 days, that 100-day plan on my website. Mobility justice, I have a lot of great ideas. One big one is decoupling traffic safety from our TPD and to our Department of Transportation and Mobility. And then environmental justice, I think we should think a little bit deeper than the Million Trees Initiative and get us a stormwater infrastructure fund. So those are some big ideas from each one of those.
We're speaking with Andres Alexander Portela III. He is challenging in the Democratic primary longtime Councilman Steve Kasachek. Was there something about Councilman Kasachek that you felt this was the time to put the challenge in, or was there something else?
No, I knew that I was going to run from office the day that the Tucson City Council took up the conversation about the Office of Equity. That was the day I heard my elected representative say that we no longer need to think about socioeconomics, racial justice, equity, all of these things in the conversation around policy. I'm the one who championed that policy and crafted the job description and the job title itself. So I took it as I wanted to step up and be the change I wanted to see in my neighborhoods, in my streets. And after long hours of community engagement to get us the Office of Equity, it was all negated. So I knew at that moment I was running for Ward 6 council member.
Tell us a little bit about your background. You said you're a third-generation African-American man. What has the experience been like for you here in Tucson, Andres?
So within the city of Tucson, I have seen such large personal growth. After graduating from the University of Arizona, Bear Down, I knew that this is the place where I wanted to grow and thrive because it helped me grow and thrive. And I actually gave a TEDx talk about the way that Tucson helped me grow. And the space where I grew up was between Sierra Vista, Arizona, and Tucson. So living in this space, I was able to find my roots and find my community and home. And that's ultimately what I want to introduce through policy. I want the next generation and generations of past to feel like we all have a place that is affordable, warm, and safe. That's me, the neighborhood kid who grew up and decided to stay here, but also love his community.
What brought your parents and your grandparents originally to the Tucson area, Andres?
So my great-great-grandmother had a, on university in Maine, she had a childcare facility. And that's ultimately what brought my post-Great Migration. It happened around, my family's from Virginia originally. Mm-hmm. And so that's my mother's side. My father's side, he's from Bayamon, Puerto Rico, served in the U.S. Army, broke his spine in the military, and found place and opportunity after finding my mother at Taco Bell. So they made a love connection there. Mm. And that's ultimately what kept us here, is our love for this space, our love for each other. That's my roots, growing up in this space.
The campaign itself, has there been some surprises? You mentioned you had worked with Congressman Ron Barber. What is surprising you about now that you're actually a candidate yourself? Are there some surprises that you have uncovered?
Quite a few, honestly. I am a policy person. I am policy-minded. And so this is a whole another level of running. I'm a runner as well. And this is a marathon, and it is very much so. It comes at you from every angle. And so for me, it's been learning and unlearning a lot about who I am as a person. What do I stand for? Having to actually articulate what I stand for and what I don't stand for. So after seeing the greats like Congressman Ron Barber, but also seeing Councilmember Santa Cruz and all of the folks that I've interacted with, I've just learned so much over the last few months that my hat's off to all of them.
Quick question from a listener. I'll see if I can work this in with you, Andres. Something about the Sunshine Mile overlay. Do you have any thoughts about that? Quickly, please.
So I do have some thoughts about the Sunshine Mile overlay. I think we need to increase community engagement, but I do like that we have built-in protections for affordable housing. And this is probably the first time that we've ever seen us do an overlay district that includes affordable housing. So I'm super happy about that. But I'm also happy about transit-oriented development. And in my platform, I focus on mobility justice. I've been hit on my bike 3 times on these neighborhood streets. It's time we start finding solutions for these different things.
And before we go, where can people find out more about you via your website, please?
Yes. So my website is Portela, four word, six, the number six. And that's Portela, four word, number 6.com.
Andres, I've enjoyed the conversation. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Andres Alexander Portela III, Democratic candidate in the Ward 6 primary, and that primary not too far away now, just coming up on August the 3rd. That will do it for the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Dave Ramsey, his very popular program about money, is coming up next on KVOI 1030 The Voice. Thanks to Tom Fairbanks, making sure all the buttons are pushed in the, well, on and off position. I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of that one. I'll just say the right position. How's that? Have a great afternoon, everybody.